Oh, Anita Franco, yes. She's the folk singer. She's the lesbian. And she's the this, she's the that. How do you feel about that? Whatever.
To help us understand Ani DiFranco.
Angry politics.
Brash and forceful.
Fiercely independent.
Is this any way to run a career?
You are feminist. You are bisexual. You are angry. Is it right?
Yes, I know what time it is. In fact, I just checked. I even know the date. And the month and the year.
She was an angry punk folk singer.
She's a bad motherfucker.
I set up a space, you know, where women could get together and go, fuck yeah, I'm here. And I'm not asking permission. How does somebody like me move towards 60 like this? This is gonna be interesting.
Welcome back to the Midday Show here on 98.1 KZE. And I have to pinch myself. This all came together so fast. I haven't even had the opportunity to kind of absorb this all, but I'm so fortunate to welcome to the Midday Show filmmaker Dana Flohr and activist, songwriter, musician, Broadway star, I guess we could add to that, Ani DiFranco. Thank you guys for making time and just making this all happen so quickly overnight. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
So, this new documentary, it's called 1-800 On Her Own, which is going to be screening at Upstate Films at the Orpheum Theater in Saugerties, New York on Monday, December 30th at 7 o'clock p.m. as part of their Sonic Wave series. I just watched the film myself because I you know, if ever possible, try to do my homework. And boy, did I enjoy this film. And one thing that occurs to me as I watch it is this could have been made at a more difficult time in Ani DiFranco's life. So going into this project, was it things like, okay, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it was COVID. It was exhaustion. It was a difficult, challenging relationship. It was midlife. It was all these, right? All these things were coming up for you, Ani. And do you take pause? Were you concerned about making a film? You also don't necessarily like to be the center of attention in that way, is from what I gather. So I put that question to you.
Well, like everyone, we didn't see the COVID thing coming. Dana had already started hanging around with that big camera on her shoulder before the pandemic. So that became one of the events, you know, that happens in the film, and you sort of see that ride through my experience. Dana and I connected on some of those core themes that you just mentioned, you know, just being in midlife and having relationships and families, you know, kids, and trying to also be an artist and a person on a mission in this world, trying to change something for the better or open a mind or ignite a heart. And you know, that kind of impossible circumstance of giving 100% everywhere to everyone, you know, that mathematical impossibility that certainly a lot of women find themselves in, but who knows, anybody, everybody. I think you hit on some of those core themes. I mean, Dana, I mean, I know from doing interviews with Dana already that she talks about, you know, showing up without preconceived notions, just following the thread, and the story, you know, illuminates as she goes. So I think that's what we were doing together.
That's very verite of her. Right, Dana? Dana, you've made a number of films in the past. Obviously, this isn't your first one. You made a film called Check It, and also another one called The Nine Lives of Marion Barry, which many people have seen. And so it sounds like you, with this particular project, basically decide you drop in when you drop in, you see where it takes you. There, you know, like a lot of documentaries, you don't necessarily have a preconceived arc to the film.
Even if you do have a preconceived arc, you have hopes, right? And you have ideas. Obviously, when you meet somebody.
And God laughs.
When you're inspired by somebody, you think, oh, this is going to be my story. But, you know, life often happens and takes you on a very, very different road. And in my experience, it almost always makes it better. It's almost, you know, much better than your preconceived notion that you had when you started the project. And this was definitely the case. It was a much richer and complex and more nuanced story than I ever thought it could be, just because of what happened along the way that none of us could know, of course.
Are you referring specifically to being in a lockdown? And
I think COVID, sure, definitely, is something that happened that we couldn't have known about. But I think also the political climate was such that it also affected the tone of the film.
Yes.
And I think Ani's mission, I can't speak for Ani, but I, you know, as an activist, I think that affects one. And I think you see that in the film as well.
It's really interesting having that complete crack in the world at that particular moment, especially as it applies to Ani in this particular moment. As a viewer, as somebody, I don't know Ani personally, so I'm just gathering what I do from 1-800 On Her Own, the documentary. And it's that you were seen to be hitting, I don't know if it was maybe a wall, like you needed to stop. And maybe you didn't even know it. I don't know. But this gave you an opportunity to reassess. You hit the scene in the 90s, and, you know, this is a major part of the film too, where, you know, you hit at a particular moment and connected with a particular population as a female, about female empowerment, not just women, but, you know, just a certain generation. And it's been 30 years now, and you are still have a huge hunger for remaining relevant, not being, as you said, that musician from the 90s that I used to listen to, or, you know, that I know you from. It's just something people say. They don't mean it, you know, in a negative way, right? But I'm just long-winded way of saying that this seemed to be force you into a place where you had to figure out the new Ani, who this is going to be going forward for the second part of your career. Is that fair enough to say?
I mean, I imagine I'm not alone in that I've hit various walls at various times
right.
in my life and career. I mean, I think if Dana had come along in the late 90s, she could have filmed me hitting a wall of,
oh,
I've been driving myself around the country alone for about a decade. I'm exhausted. I have no help. And I think I need to quit music, you know, but then, you know, I jumped that wall, you know, and I've done it a few times along the way. But, you know, the pandemic, you know, was a big blessing for me in that sense, because it was out of my hands, you know. You know, as you know, I'm in my 50s now, and at this point in my life, it's like, how do I go out and do all the work I feel compelled to do in the world when, you know, it makes me a bad mom or a bad partner or a villain when I get home because I haven't given and been present enough, you know, at home, and all these push and pull struggles. So for me, hitting this sort of wall of, you know, not being able to give 100% to everyone all the time, you know, the pandemic was like, okay, it's not your decision anymore whether you want to heal the world or be there to read your kid a bedtime story. It's bedtime story. We decided for you, you know, and so that was a gift in a lot of ways. I mean, it was a struggle, of course, like so many of us who found ourselves unable to work, or at least in the way that we were used to. And but it was also sort of saved me up against that wall.
We're speaking with filmmaker Dana Flohr and multi-hyphenate creative Ani
There you
DiFranco.
go.
You're both creative and terribly creative, in fact. The film, it's called the documentary 1-800 On Our Own, and which it fits perfectly. I wasn't sure when I first heard the title, but it totally, absolutely ends up making a whole lot of sense. This kind of conflict of feeling like you're on your own, or you're connected to people and you have support, and you're not the only one standing out there in the cold at night. It can be very scary. It can be incredibly empowering too, which all this stuff surfaces in the documentary, which is going to be screening again at Upstate Films on Monday, December 30th at 7 p.m. at the Orpheum Theater in Saugerties. And if you guys ever get a chance, if you're up here, and I'm sure you have been, come by and see these theaters. It's really wonderful. So, Orpheum is like a little gem from the past. And as we wind it down, Dana, I'm just wondering, did you set up, or maybe you both can answer this. Did you set up parameters for this relationship on either side of the camera for each other?
I mean, I feel very blessed that I think Ani gave me a lot of trust. But as a filmmaker, I'm always super careful to make sure to earn that trust and to be sensitive of what that person is going through, to check in with them. But it making a film, it's also a lot. It's on the fly. You're running around. You're grabbing your gear. You're grabbing your audio. Depending on the bus, she's getting off the bus, she's getting in her car, she's so you're following the thread, but trust is essential. It's the critical thing between a filmmaker and the filmmaker's subject. And I love and respect and am eternally inspired by Ani. And so I was always very careful to make sure that she felt okay or that she was okay with what was going on, even in circumstances where she clearly wasn't okay, you know? So, Annie, do you have something to add to
Yeah, I mean, I felt
that?
very panicky, very many moments along the way, you know, just like, can I just destroy that roll of film or that roll of film or what can I, all your rolls of film
Oh,
some
boy.
days, you know? But I kept coming back to my love and respect of Dana that evolved and my trust. And I kept talking myself back around to, you know what? She's gonna make something cool that has a purpose. And don't worry about it. It, you know, you are what you are. The story is what it is. And so yeah, because I do trust her, I was able to let her make the film she felt compelled to make. And you know, Dana, I just my neighbor Sheba had a guest over from Minneapolis the other day, and he'd seen the film. He saw 1-800 in Minneapolis, and his face lit up. He's like, I loved it. It was so inspiring. And that's what I've been hearing from people, which just does my heart good. It's, you know, I'm way too close to it. You know, just the sight of my face that big is horrific to me. But, you know, what I prefer to do is just look at other people's faces who have seen the film and how it impacted them. And so that's made it all worth it.
And I think that we understood that from the beginning, that both Ani and I are about making art that ultimately inspires people, instills hope. And I think that that is what the film does. I think the path to get there has been painful, and I can completely relate to anybody who doesn't want their face on the screen. 100%. And I think that also makes me a careful filmmaker because I'm just like Ani. I hate pictures, hate people taking pictures of me, you know, all of that stuff. I'm very uncomfortable with it. And Ani's deeply uncomfortable with it, which is very ironic, but I really understand that. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. I think she's super relatable in that sense. But ultimately, I feel proud that we made a film that is inspiring and is, you know, gets people up on their feet, and that's been really fun.
Thank you. Ani DiFranco and Dana Flohr. Again, the name of the film is 1-800 On Our Own. And I'm going to urge everybody to go check it out. And yeah, thank you both very much for coming on the Midday Show today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.